Morning, everybody. Welcome to Senate Finance. It's 9:02 on Valentine's Day, February 14th. And, want to welcome Co-Chair Green, Senator Hoffman, Senator Stedman, Senator Dyson, myself, Senator Wilkin, and Senator Bundy to Senate Finance. The purpose of today's meeting is to do an overview, a snapshot of the governor's budget, and get your thoughts. And other than that, I think that's all we're going to do, Senator Green. Unless there's something else. Is there anything to come before the committee before we begin our agenda? Okay, seeing none, then let's begin. I've asked my assistant, James Armstrong, to join us at the table, and also, of course, David Teal from Ledge Finance, who has a slide here at the end that I'd like for him to walk through for us. There's been a lot of talk the last month about the governor's budget and what it does and what it doesn't do. And I, as always, find it confusing, and especially when we deal with now different fiscal years. So in an attempt to make it so that I can understand it, I have some slides I'd like to show you and get your thoughts on them today or whenever, because we are starting the budget process. The word I think we're going to hear a lot of, and I would suggest to you today after this brief presentation that you'll also put into your vocabulary and you'll think a lot about as we do the hard work that this table is going to do for the next couple of months, is the word sustainability. And I'll leave it at that, but I would hope towards the end that creeps into your thoughts on this budget. The budget, and before I get to the details, the budget is a 19.4% increase in general fund spending over last year. About 8% of that increase is fixed things. Things like risk management, PERS, TERS, contracts that have been negotiated, medical increases that have been negotiated. Things that, in my opinion, we can get at, but it would be very, very, very difficult. So for the moment, I've just considered those to be fixed. And that's about $210 million, or about 8% over last year. Coupled with that is in agency increases, things that I call variable, and that's about $272 million increase, and that's about 10.4% over last year. This chart is available. It's too busy to put on the wall, but it's certainly available to you folks. And then about 1% in new legislation from the governor so far. So that all adds up to about 19.5%, and I would also say that does not include a capital budget. This is operating only. So just at first blush, when you look at this, you say, goodness, that's an increase in spending over last year, and is that type of growth sustainable? There's some components in the budget that just on a flyover, there's about $17.5 million in new foundation, new projects, new plans, new proposals, new programs. There's about $60 million where federal or non-GF monies have fallen away to support a particular program. And the budget contemplates that we will backfill that $60 million. There's about $63 million in, for the want of a better word for today, the fixed increases. And then there's expanded programs across the agencies of about $269 million. So those are the four categories that helps me kind of work through what pew I'm in this effort to understand this budget. Let me go to if you'll just spin around there. It helps me to understand, next two slides kind of have to do with our checkbook and where we can spend the money. It helps me to look at, we have six spending bills. And if we look at this chart, it's lines A, B, and C are what amounts to our checkbook. That's our general fund checkbook. That's what we have in the bank to spend this year. By the end of the session, by law, we have to come up with the 07 budget. And you can see that that was seeded with $1.2 billion in a surplus as of, that says 110.05, it's really 110.06. That's $1.2 billion in a surplus to date. And then our unrestricted general fund revenue, which is, of course, 90% oil and gas, and studded tire taxes and business fees and those kinds of things, that's $3.13 billion. So if you add those two sources of revenue up, we have, it's helpful for me to think about, it's in our checkbook is $4.339 billion as of today. So we have in front of us six spending bills. And the purpose of this table is just to show the interaction, one, the six spending bills, but then the interaction, because I would hope that the mantra that's floating around this building from both the House, the Senate, and the governor is that we're going to end up this session by saving something, saving it for something after 07. And I think when you see the end of this presentation, you'll appreciate why the blue line at the bottom is an important number. The salmon, the brown is our checkbook, the yellow is the governor's spending bills, the green is what we may or may not do to those bills, and the blue is savings. So if you just march down through that, of the 4.339, the governor's budget plus K-12 is about $3.1 billion that he's presented to us in Senate Bill 228 and the $90 million in K-12. Then you get into the four supplementals, and we've heard the three of those now, 232, 233, 263, and 264. Those are the supplementals that this table is considering at the moment. Those total 2.94, an extraordinary number, and we all can remember not too many years ago when we were dealing with a $17 million supplemental. And just as an aside, this supplemental doesn't have any firefighting in it. And so I think if we were faced with a bad fire year and added $70 million like we did last year. So obviously the supplementals have gotten a lot of discussion. And I think that when you look at this table, one of the things that this table and the House Finance and the governor's faced with is we all should be thinking about our priorities. When you look at this and I look at E, F, G, and H, I can personally get pretty comfortable with spending some of our extra money on deferred maintenance, things that don't require funding or indeed save us money for a future year. But E, F, G, and H, those supplementals, are really a broad request for monies of all sorts of needs. And I think it'll take a common thought among us as to which ones are needs and which ones are wants. Just those four lines are a budget in themselves. Well, we'll talk about fiscal year in just a second. And then we fall to our old favorite, the capital budget, which, of course, we're used to seeing Senate Bill 231. Currently, that sits at $432 million, I think about the same as last year. And then we subtract from our 4.339 the suggestions of JK&H, the $400 million for pipeline equity, and governor's legislation to date of $28 million. And then other amendments that may or may not come, but that totals today 428. And then we plugged in because we know when we come back next year there will be an 07 supplemental of some number, and 75 is just a plugged in number, so that we could leave, just for the sense of what we're showing here, some sort of a savings. So you take the 4.33 and you subtract out six spending bills, and you have allow for a little supplemental, and you have $5 million in savings. Obviously, any of the total lines that we change affects the blue line savings. So That is our task for the next 2 months. Please feel free to stop me as we go through this if there's any questions.
I got one here.
Senator Stedman?
Yes, you know, it's rather unusual to have four supplementals, so I assume that there's no double counting in, from the operating budget in 07, because we've seen a lot of requests that were actually, at least some of us would feel that it's actually 07 spending that they're moving back in to absorb some of this excess revenue this year. So that's all been pulled out of that 3103 number on the operating budget?
I believe so. Those are as presented. David, could you help with that? I don't think there's any double counting. There may be some, and we just haven't scrubbed them up that much, but David, could you help with that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Stedman, I don't see any duplication in there at all. That, unless you look at the 06 bills as being like the capital supplemental, the proposed effective date of that bill is June 30th, and I think your argument is probably true. There's no reason that supplemental needs to be an 06 bill. It could just as well start on July 1st and be 07 money. I think it's pretty clear that the purpose is to use the surplus that exists in 06 before it lapses to the CBR.
Right. And James, did you have something to offer? Identify yourself.
James Armstrong, 8th Senator Wilkin. I was just saying that I'd offer that in some of the stuff on line H, capital budget supplemental, that if they're denied there, they would probably move into request into other budget amendments on L later on down the pipe.
Okay. Senator Hoffman?
And one other area that I think will throw all of this off is if we take action on PPT, which is the petroleum profits tax, and I hear that that would be retroactive possibly to January. So if we get $1.4 billion times a year and a half, we would add $2 billion to the bottom number in savings if we're not talking about changing this plan. So this $5.5 million savings can easily be multiplied times four.
Those are the kind of problems we like, and we'll see where we land. Anything else on this slide, Senator Stedman?
If you could just maybe briefly talk about the 1.2 surplus, the numbers used in that for 06, the $57.30, I think, is the oil cost of the oil, and then the 07 targeted. I think that's at 49.20, maybe. Because these numbers are in flux, not counting the issue that was just mentioned by Senator Hoffman.
They're very much in flux, and this is the snapshot of two things: one, the December 15th budget, and then the revenue forecast from the Department of Revenue on January 10th. We may see another revenue forecast prior to our normal spring forecast that, you know, obviously is going to increase the 1.2 number, because oil prices have been above 40 something, which is what that is based on. David, do you know what the 1.2 is based on? Do you remember?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Stedman, the $1.2 billion is based on oil. As Senator Stedman said, the 07 number is $49. The 06 number is about $57. The Revenue Forecasting Committee meets Thursday of this week, so those numbers will be revised. Exactly where they wind up is anybody's guess, but I guess I would expect them to go up by perhaps $150 million increase in the 06 surplus, and then as much as $500 million added to the 07 forecast.
I think the important thing, I mean, obviously the numbers are important on this chart, but the important thing is the relationship between each of those and how we change any of those numbers to drive a savings number at the bottom.
Gary.
Senator Bunny.
If they're finished. Yeah, I'd just like to go back and reemphasize my concern about having any capital supplemental and starting, you know, a new budget category that we've never had before. And there is there was a comment being made that this is 06 money and they want to just hurry up and spend it so it doesn't get swept. There's another way to keep it from being swept, and that's, I believe, putting into one of the savings categories that we have available to us.
And then with that lead-in, let's go to the next slide. This, I really get confused, and I think others do, by early funding, forward funding, past funding, 07, 06. This seems to me to make it a little more graphic and visual as to what we're really doing here. So let's walk through this flowchart, for the want of a better word. So you see at the top, there's our 4.339 that we have in our checkbook. Now, we have some choices, as Senator Bundy just said. In normal years, our job here is to deal with the box called FY207. That is our job, to do the 07 budget. And so in normal years, there's the base operating, there's the fixed increases, variable increases, for a total budget of $3.1 billion. There's our $75 million and a capital of $432 million, for a total spend in 07 of $3.6 billion. So, but it's different this year because we have this surplus, and we can spend the surplus wherever we want. We can spend it in any of those four boxes. The four boxes are 06, which is a wrinkle this year, and it was a wrinkle last year because of our surplus. 08 is next fiscal year, and we're going to talk a bit more about 08 here shortly. And then the out years, as Senator Bundy just said, there are places that we can put money to save them, and there's three choices right there. With different access rules, depending on the mood and the will of the legislature, if we're going to put money out into the out years. So to me, the important thing is the 4.339 is transparent as far as where you spend it. I don't really care whether you spend it 06 or 07. The important part is that we are going to spend it somewhere, and we can spend it and call it pipeline equity or the supplemental bills has been proposed, or we can spend it in the FY07 budget, or we can put some aside in the education fund or debt retirement for next year. That's a savings of sort. Or we can really save it and put it in the permanent fund reserve, the CBR, or in the principal. That's a policy call that we don't need to worry about today. But the point of this graphic is just, to me, is I don't really care whether it's 06, 07, 08. We're going to spend that 4.339 somewhere, and it's going to fall into one of these four fiscal year buckets, for the want of a better word. This helps me understand forward funding, early funding, whether it's 06, 07. When somebody says funding, I can look at this and see where, at least to today, it's proposed, and it helps me understand. I hope it does to you folks too. There's no magic here. We're going to spend it, and how the accountants classify it, let them do it. We can be a little bit reserved about whether we want to be technical and whether it's 06 or 07. Any comments or questions about that? Senator Bundy?
In the question about the OA budget, I have heard numbers bandied around that if, again, all this is on projection, and the only constant on our projection is that on oil prices, it's always been wrong. David, perhaps you can help me. I think based on at least one scenario, we're looking at fiscal year 08. If we went forward with this budget as it existed, being back in a deficit again of some $400 million. Is my memory correct on that?
No, you're right. And in about two slides, we're going to get into 08.
Sorry, don't.
No, that's all right. Ahead. You're heading exactly where we should all be heading.
I like to worry ahead, I guess.
and of course, here, once again, you can see the interaction of the numbers. And what we don't spend in the yellow boxes or the blue box, we save in the green boxes. Senator Seven?
I apologize, I was looking for that '08 revenue forecast, I don't have it here, but I think the earlier comment about the '08, we need to take a look again at the '08 revenue, the volume and the price in the forecast, and remember we've got these other issues in play, and clearly it's pretty hard to gauge what the price is going to be in '08, so.
We're going to touch on '08 here in just a moment. I just, as because people ask, well, where's the money going? This is just take a moment, and this is $1 million increases across the agencies. This is more for your just reference at a later point, but if anybody asks where all the money's going, $143.9 million increase in HESS. There's the 89 or 90 million for K-12. Fund capitalization is requiring about 55 million. Transportation DOT PUF, 44.7 million. University of Alaska, 41.7. Debt service, and then it goes on down from there. So that's just for you to reference when your constituents say, well, where are we spending our money? You can pull this off and show the big draws on the general fund. Senator Bundy?
And this is all spending, or is this the, or do you have a similar chart, or just the fixed increases?
This is all GF spending.
Mm-hmm.
And the supplements, or money we're having to put in to fund the PERS, TERS things, are all submerged in each of these categories.
Yes, yeah, that's correct.
Thank you.
Senator Stepp?
I got a comment, but let me just add to the, just mention the PERS, TERS targeted fundings in here, but we're still substantially below the actuarial targeted rate, which would include another $200 million ballpark dispersed in amongst this to get to where we ought to be funding to control that liability growth. So the mandatory funding's in there, but not the funding that would take the stuff to growth. Back to another growth of the liability. But back to the question I wanted to ask or comment. It's nice to see the dollar amounts here on the increases, but it's even more alarming to me to see the percentage increases by department. Some of the departments are way above the 20% numbers. And last year, I think in the general fund, we did somewhere around 13 or 14%.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big increase in and of itself. And I remember sitting at the table having a discussion that was a catch-up year. And, you know, and that 13% is a big number. This year, this 20% increase is on that base already increased by 13% last year. So when you start adding these 2 years together, 06 and 07, it gets to be a huge percentage increase.
Yeah, we're north of 33%.
Growth in the general operations in 2 years.
And there's a chart just like this of percentages, and James says put it in, and I said leave it out, because it's just another chart. We have it, and you're right, it's interesting to see which one. So, James, would you just make a note and just pass that out to the members?
It was vice versa.
Is that what it was?
Yes.
So, anyway, the, yeah.
And Mr. Chairman, and knowing how much you love charts, it would be interesting to see one, something like this, of the fixed costs that what we have to do. We have a few options that aren't incredibly painful, at least.
Yeah, there's some big bites that we're just going to take no matter what.
Yeah,
Medicaid is always the poster child for that. So. Anything else on this one? Lots of folks talk about production, and this is out of the Department of Revenue book that they gave us at the beginning of the session. And I just highlighted the green, the foot stomp here is you can see that just from the year 2000, we're down about 160,000 barrels a day that they're forecasting their revenue projections on. That's the bad news. The good news, if you can look for good news here, is for the next 5 years, it stays at about 850,000 barrels a day. So just when folks talk about production, it's fair to say that we're going to be at about 830,000 barrels a day for the next 5 years. Best guess, knowing that these things always change. But the decline is significant, obviously, and obviously the less you pump, the less you make. So I just threw this in, just when folks talk about production, you too can say what the history has been and what the future looks like for the next 5 years as of January of '06. Any questions there? So this is entitled Trouble Ahead. And this makes some assumptions, but they're valid assumptions. They're certainly within the realm of possibility. And I'd start this slide by saying, and David, tell me if I'm wrong, the '07 budget is presented by the governor, if we didn't have the $1.2 billion coming forward, is about $450 million out of balance. It's plus or minus, is that correct? So if we didn't have an '06 surplus, we would have, we'd be sitting here as we did 3 years ago with a $400 million budget deficit. We'd be talking about all the things we talked about 3 years ago that weren't particularly pleasant. So let's look ahead to '08 and let's just make some assumptions. This is a fiscal year '08 estimated fiscal summary. Now, this is the if column, and this is the money column, and this is the result column. If you took for next year the governor's budget as presented, our $3.1 billion, and said, okay, that's what's going to be '08, and if we added to the budget as presented today, we just added $220 million in fixed cost increases. First TERS, health insurance, debt service, fund cap, contracts, those kinds of things that while we can get at them, they're awfully, awfully difficult to get at. $220 million. If we said, okay, coupled to the starting point, fixed cost, and we're just going to say, well, there's another $50 million for Medicaid, which may be a little low, right, Senator Green?
Correct.
K-12 formula, $50 million. Of course, that's a little low. And
by a factor of three.
Thank you. And then agencies and UA increments, let's throw another $50 million in just for the university.
That's a little high.
That's a little high, okay. So you gotta get your digs when you can. So anyhow, but if you just say Medicaid 50, K-12 50, agencies and U of A 50, so add in 50. Now think about what that doesn't include. I mean, there's all sorts of things that look at our budget. It doesn't include any of the other stuff. This is just those things. We're going to spend $3.47 billion next year, and there's our $75 million just for a number, who knows. And next year, the minimum capital match for federal road, this we'd do no other capital other than our good old $133 million to leverage $1.some billion in federal money, $133. So our total spend next year in FY08, a year from right now sitting here, $3.68 billion. Now the FY08 revenues today, from the fall forecast at $49 a barrel, 831,000 barrels a day, brings us about $3 billion. We're not going to have any surplus coming forward. We assume no surplus coming forward because we spent or saved it all. We're going to have next year, given these numbers, a $681 million budget deficit. You can argue some of those numbers. You can hope that FY08 revenues saves you. You can hope that we've tucked enough away in surplus to save you. But the rest of those numbers are conservative at best. We would do well, depending on what side of the fence you're on, that would be a very tight budget at $3.68 billion next year, given those numbers. So here's your, is there trouble ahead? And before I go to the next slide, any comment? David, anything that is, I mean, this is plus or minus stuff, but it's pretty close, isn't it? It's, Senator Stebbins?
I think one of the underlying issues that eventually we're gonna have to deal with is those fixed rate growth costs, or the other way of putting it is the formula driven issues that we're faced with that are a little less than half of our general fund. At some point, we're gonna have to get those slowed down. And it's going to be a rather unpleasant issue to deal with here, but just growing at 8%, we can't keep up, much less 20.
And I remember when I first got here, Senator Green, Senator Bundy, Senator Hoffman, Senator Dyson, I remember when I first got here and we tried to just do a little nipping and tucking in the Medicaid list. I mean, the wrath of hell came down on us. So it isn't easy to get at it. I mean, eyeglasses get pretty important to people, as they should. So you're right, that's a driver. And the federal driver, Medicaid, is huge and getting huger.
Senator Bundy?
And I think Senator Hoffman mentioned earlier, you know, that there is a possibility that legislation could get passed that would increase our cash flow $1 billion, maybe $2 billion, something like that. However, that just raises the numbers. I don't think it fixes the problem, because we take in $1 billion and there are always $2 billion of requests for spending. So we could just add $1 billion to all those numbers and still end up with a deficit.
Any other comments on questions on this slide? So now the word sustainability enters into the discussion. This is my favorite slide in state government. And, let me say at the outset, when we brought it over from Ledge Finance's website and tried to put it on this machine, this red right here just won't cooperate. I think this red right here shouldn't be there. It should be right here. So everything in this space is the red, and red is bad. This is just should be white. So please pardon us for not being able to control this chart. The rest of the numbers are relatively close. So
don't feel bad. The red in our budget's been hard to control for years.
Yeah. So here's a couple of things that's interesting about where we're headed here, and the word sustainability. Let's take a look at this. As you know, because you've seen this before, the zero line is price per barrel of oil, and from 25 to 70. And the more you make at a constant production of 830 some thousand barrels, the more you make per barrel, obviously, the more you make for your budget. So you want to move along this line as much as you can, and we have. And you can see here, 110 price was somewhere around almost $60 a barrel, $59 a barrel. Current price, 110, $60. And I would remind this committee that it wasn't 2 years ago when we were dealing down in the $30 a barrel range. And you remember when it passed 30 and we went home, and it passed 40 and we were skipping in the shower because we thought all of our problems were taken care of. And indeed, there's, if you look at FY03, so that would have been us here in 2002, 2003, 2004, FY3, 4, 5, you can see that we passed budgets that essentially were around the break-even point of about $31 a barrel. The budget that we passed last year that we're currently under is around $37 a barrel, break even. The budget that's presented to us, $3.1 billion, and this is just an operating budget, remember, is balanced at about a little over $47 a barrel. The FY08 that we just looked at on the previous slide is balanced at about $55 a barrel based on the production. David's going to show you the next slide here and talk a little bit about 08. But for our purposes at this table, this movement from here to there ought to scare the hell out of you. Because obviously you can't make another leap here or here over the next couple of fiscal years and be comfortable. And we all have our sense of where oil prices are going to be. We know what production is going to be at best guess. Who knows what oil is going to be? But the person that says, I think we're going to live at 60, I'll find you another person, including me, that says, I think we're going to live at 40. And so if we live at 40, this red line here, it's the same slope. It comes right up like this for a break even. That's the slope of that line. And at 40, we're $600 or $700 million out of balance, as we saw. So 2 points. We're dancing on a pin, and we're praying to the oil gods that we're going to live up here for many years to come when we have budget growth like this. I think that's enough of a point. So, we just need, well, we need to be comfortable with where we're going to be and each of our collective thoughts and what the experts tell us as we build a budget. But I would hope you agree that we can't keep moving out on this line with our budget and do it responsibly. Or we'll be back here talking about taxes, permanent fund earnings, taxes on our visitors, taxes on our people, the people that choose to invest in our state. We're going to have exactly the same conversation we had 3 years ago when we were faced with a $400 million budget deficit. So now the oil gods may save us in PPT, or they may save us in prices, but I would suggest that even those sorts of things don't cover us if we look beyond 08 as we march along this line. We are in dangerous territory, and I would hope that we'd think about that as we work through our budgets. This is just through 08. Any questions on that before we move to the next one? And the last slide that I have,
One question. If you went back beyond 03, you know, we went from 03, 04, 05, you jump $6 a barrel on our gas, and then we jump $10 a barrel in our gas, and then how many, historically, do we know how many, how big our jumps were in our guesses?
Before 03?
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't looked at that. It would be certainly easy to do.
It seems like it's been increasing. Our optimism is increasing.
Remember the good old days back in 99? So let's see, 25. So you have to go $15 off of that. So that would be that distance. So that would be over here when we were in 99 and $10 barrel oil. So you come down to the slope of that line. Oh man, it's if we had $10 barrel oil today, we'd be $2 billion out of balance. So pray to the oil gods. Anything else on this slide? David did which I thought was an interesting exercise here, and I'd like for him to explain it. He looked out beyond 08 and 09 and looked out into FY 15 about with some certain assumptions. And David, would you just cruise through this and talk a little bit about break-even points?
Sure.
And Senator Olson has joined us. Morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, this slide was prepared in response to your and other legislators' questions about the sustainability of the recent increases. And as you said, we've gone up by an average of about 15% in each of the last couple of years. And so what this chart does is take the growth from 03 through 07 and breaks it down into several agencies or parts of the budget, if you want, criminal justice, K-12, university, etc. And then takes the growth rate that was experienced from 03 to 07 and projects that out to 2015. So you can see that the different parts of the budget grow at slightly different rates there, and criminal justice doubles from 03 to 15, and several of the others about double, university triples, state agencies double, Medicaid goes up by a factor of two as well. So you can see where the growth is occurring. It's fairly conservative growth rate. It's not the 15% or so average that we've had in the last couple of years. It's more like 9% because it goes all the way back to 03. And then the little numbers on top there that are a little difficult to see, I hope you have the paper in front of you, it's easier to read. As Senator Bundy was saying, what would that break-even point be if we went back to 00? Well, the 00 to 03 budget was actually fairly flat there, so that it stays right at around between $30 and $35 for break even. But you can see what happens, and this is, again, extending a fairly conservative growth rate and extending oil production where it is right now, roughly 850, 860,000 barrels per day. And if we do that, you can see that the answer to your question is the recent growth sustainable? And the answer is yes. All we need is for oil to grow at about $5 per year, oil price per barrel growth. So that to break even in 08, we need oil at roughly $55, and in 09, 60, jumping to 65, 70, 75, and so on. And again, that's assuming that production stays where it is.
Any questions of David or comments on the long-term look, long-term estimate? Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's obvious to anyone looking at these charts that there's no way we can cut ourselves out of this problem, you know, and we're talking about hoping to the or praying to the oil gods, but I think that the one solution that even the governor is talking about and is going to be introducing, as I understand it, tomorrow, is the petroleum profits tax. And I think that Alaskans need to make sure that we're getting our fair share of that of the tax of the oil price. Earlier this year, we saw that BP had a $22 billion profit, one of the highest profits in its history. We've seen Exxon having $36 billion. So we're looking at corporations making major profits off of oil in Alaska, and we're talking about having these problems facing us. You know, I don't believe that we're getting our fair share of the increases or the lack of increases in taxes in the state. Obviously, I remember $10 a barrel oil and the problems it caused and the actions that we had taken. But again, missing from this chart is the 1.2 or to 2 to possibly $2 billion in revenue. And I think that even with that, we need to be cautious on how do we bridge, because the price of oil can just as well, as you said, go back to 40, and we have a problem, you know. And I think it's at these higher prices, I'm glad that we see that in this scenario that we're saving 550 million dollars, but we need to even have further savings down the road when we're looking at how do we, as a state, have sustainability until we get our gas line on, you know, and that I think is the problem that we're facing. We need to be looking at, because the revenue that we're going to receive from gas is 10, 15 years out. We can see immediate relief if we look at whether or not we're receiving our fair share of taxes today. We can even possibly repocket some of those dollars if what I understand is coming forward on saying that we need to at least recoup those revenues until to the beginning of last month. You know, and I think that that's where our best energies would be spent for this session.
Thanks, Senator Hoffman. Senator Stebbins?
I had a few comments to add to that. I don't personally believe, Mr. Chairman, that that we should view the oil companies and look at their profits. You need to take that against their assets and the size of their corporation. We're as a state, need to pay attention to where the state of Alaska is relative to the rest of the world, all the other nations, and how they split their natural resource value between the government and the industry, whether it's an oil industry or a mineral industry or what have you. And clearly the scenario that we set up 30 some odd years ago was a tax and royalty system, which is inherently regressive. So as prices move away from you, and if they move away from you substantially, you end up with a disproportionately low share. And it's also clear around the world that there's been adjustments taking place the last couple of years with governments, as this is a competitive environment for the oil companies to operate, and it's also a competitive environment just for the oil products they sell. And as that marketplace moves away, Alaska has from time to time come forward and made these adjustments to stay competitive against their other resource-based nations. So I don't begrudge an oil company for making a profit. I clearly want them to make a profit so they stay in business and pump our oil so we can have a revenue stream. But what I want to see is that Alaska is positioned across the globe in a competitive environment, and preferably hedged a little bit with a competitive advantage, so we can have the exploration dollars spent here and not somewhere else in the world. The issue of a potential revenue increase due to the elimination of ELF, I think, is fairly certain to some degree or another. What that is, none of us know at this table, and we'll deal with it, I guess, when we get the final bill across. And I don't disagree with an interest of a January 1 date. If I can just stop there and back up just for a second to an earlier part of the conversation when we're talking about our savings and what are we doing at this table to try to save for the future when we look at projections like we have here, which are not unreasonable under the current scenario we face today. But the $400 million that we're looking at putting in an expenditure for a future gas line in a contract that we don't have today, hopefully we'll have soon, but clearly that line will be built for several years. I view that personally as savings. That is putting $400 million away, if we do it, or some other number, setting it aside for a capital project that will enhance the revenue stream of the state. And if that is not built, we'd then be able to bring that $400 million back into our general fund so we can operate our state at whatever level we decide at that time. So that, I think, should be classified as a savings mechanism, because clearly we don't have to spend it today. We could go forward until such time as we need a capital draw for that oil line, and we can always turn to the permanent fund earnings reserve or general fund cash flow or what have you. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll be quiet for now.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. In wrap-up for the presentation, the purpose, once again, was just to bring down to earth what we're dealing with in some way that as we march through this, that we have taken some of the magic, some of the confusion out of it. We're going to start next week with initial meetings with the different agencies, and each of you will be participating, five of us as chair of the different agency subcommittees. And shortly after that, we'll have our budget goals. I don't think for a moment that we're going to take the governor's numbers. I do think for a moment that we're going to have some sort of savings. And I think we've got to put our hard hats on and go to work and figure out of this budget, out of these hundreds of millions of dollars of increases, are they there to serve the people of Alaska? Or are they there just because we happen to have the money at this particular time? And once you answer that question, then the next question is, what are we going to do about 08? And what are we going to do about 09? So we don't leave ourselves, for whoever sits at this table next year, with a very difficult budget. It takes us to discussions that in the past at this table have found very unpleasant for not only us, but the people of Alaska. These numbers aren't perfect, but they at least are a frame of reference. And with that, I'll close. Oh, Senator Hoppen?
Just a response to Senator Stedman's comments. I'm not talking about putting these corporations in hardship. when we're talking about our fair share, and I'm, you know, when you're talking about this last year, those two corporations having $58 billion worth of profits, and if we're looking at $2 billion of that for what we feel is our fair share, when Alaskans are suffering, your students, your people as well, look at the high cost of that we're asking $14 million in increases in fuel for the Marine Highway System. Are we supposed to say, no, we shouldn't fund those? Those people, you're the one that said those are some essential services. We still haven't addressed revenue sharing. People are still saying that the $90 million isn't adequate to when Kenai is looking at possibly eliminating 40 positions. There are needs in the state that need to be addressed. And if we look at the PPT and use a thumbnail sketch, and I'm not saying what it is, but if it was $2 billion, this would still give those companies $56 billion to do more research and give dividends to their shareholders. So,
Senator Hoffman, you've made your point, and I really don't want to talk about
I think
legislation coming
be,
in.
And
you made your point well.
And you made the point that we have a problem, and this is an avenue to address it, Mr. Chairman.
And we're going to have all sorts of time at this table to talk about PPT and all the good things and bad things about it. And so but the process starts today. It'll start next week with initial meetings, and then the week after that, or roughly around there, we'll get into the budgets and start to craft these and then bring them back to the table. So, anything, questions of myself, David, or James?
Senator Fundy?
Just my overriding view that Alaskans and Alaska's appetite for spending and will certainly encompass and allow any increase in revenue. And my bottom line is the numbers don't matter so much as how much out of balance we are. And you can add a billion or two to that and we can still be out of balance.
I agree.
Yeah, thank you for your time today, committee, and I hope I've shed a little light on and made it a little less complicated and probably a little more challenging. We've got a lot of work to do the next couple of months. Senator Green, anything else to come before us?
No, just a thank you to you for an excellent presentation.
And we're going to have press availability at 10:30 in the Fahrenkamp room, and please feel free to join me. All right, if there's nothing else to come before us, we're adjourned. Thank you.